Hi, everyone, and welcome back to The Blast Podcast, a show where we believe movies can be more than just movies. I'm your host, Steve Watts, joined as always by my co-host, Mayor Larry Vaughn. And today, we have a great pod for you guys. For those of you coming back from a previous pod, you know that Ty and I have been doing a series this summer in which we've discussed summer blockbusters from the 2010s. Today is finally the day that we'll be drawing some conclusions from this project and comparing this year's blockbusters to years of the past. Before we dive in, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
It's official. Blast has hit the App Store. To download the app, go to our website at www.blastmovies.net. To support us further, please share the app with your friends and consider leaving a positive review. On our website, you will also find a link to our Kickstarter campaign where you can help us improve Blast.
We appreciate all of your support on this journey, and we can't wait to see what movies you start getting tickets for.
All right, Ty, you know the drill. Blast tick of the week. Let's hear it.
There was a really good Back to the Future one a couple days ago, but I pivoted because I got a horrible case of the suds. And my buddy, right before our fantasy draft, my Marquette fantasy draft, was like, hey, go read my Osmosis Jones ticket for some motivation. We need you healthy, Kamish. We need you at the draft. So this is his Osmosis Jones ticket from at home. July 8th, 9:10 p.m. Help! Police! This movie is a must watch when you're stuck in bed sick with the bubonic plague and pray you got a white blood cell detective fighting off bacteria in your body. Ask any doctor or pharmacist what their favorite superhero is, and they will say, Osmosis Jones. Blast grade A, movie grade B+.
That's fucking awesome.
I showed up to the draft about as healthy as I could be. You know, I put up a fight, so I'm hoping Osmosis Jones is in my system right now helping me out.
Hell yeah. My ticket of the week is from Can't Articulate. This is Shaun of the Dead. You see this one?
Yeah, I like Can't Articulate. He's got some good tickets.
He does. This one's cool. He said, did I drive 40 minutes to see my favorite movie of all time? Yes. Also, it was my first AMC and Dolby experience. I usually only go to Cinemark because that's what's close. The resolution looked so great. The movie, of course, is still funny, and this is where I get my taste of comedy from. They didn't have a ticket stub for me, so I guess this Blast ticket is the only stub I'll get.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. And he went ahead and attached the picture of the AMC. Dude, this thing looks like a palace.
That's a pretty theater. You know, I know we don't talk about AMC a whole lot here, but it is otherworldly half the time. Like AMC, it's about like 60% chance you're walking into a different universe.
And then there's a 40% chance you walk into the Bloomington one where the power goes out like once a week.
I love like 40% of your Blast tickets are like Blast grade D. It was 12 degrees in my theater.
Dude, I have been telling this story at work a lot lately. I don't know why Candyman like keeps coming up, the 2021 version. And so I have to tell my first watch experience, which was first day of classes at IWU. Girlfriend dumps me over the phone. And I'm like, oh, it's all right. I'll make it through classes and I'll go see Candyman to cheer myself up. And the power goes out halfway through the fucking movie. And the theater manager tells me, oh yeah, go back inside, we'll start that movie up for you as soon as we get power back. And then I wait there for 45 minutes and two old ladies come in ready to watch R.E.S.P.E.C.T. the Aretha Franklin biopic.
Ouch.
All-time low.
Refund, please.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about this project, because this has been a long time coming. We've put a lot of work into this one, and just to give a general idea of the rules, we watched 30 total summer blockbusters from the 2010s, three from each year. We watched the highest grossing family film, the highest grossing big IP film, which for those of you who don't know, like sequels, things that belong to franchises, stuff like that, and original concept films. Let's dive right into the analytics. I kind of want to structure this as a quiz because I don't think you watched like any of these movies.
Didn't watch them then, didn't watch them now.
Great. So I'll start you off with a little meatball here. The MCU was the only franchise with more than one entry on this list. How many entries did they have?
You had the two Iron Mans, Guardians, Black Panther, maybe Civil War. I'm at five. It was five.
Six. You're forgetting the original Avengers.
Ah, oh, damn it.
But I mean, that rings pretty true. I'm surprised it's not higher, honestly. Like, I would have expected it to be seven or eight, especially seeing Iron Man 2 kick us off in 2010. Was 2011 like a down year for them? Was that like the Incredible Hulk year?
11 is Thor 1, I'm pretty sure.
Great. Maybe,
yeah, kind of a snoozer. Did you count Endgame on that list?
Yeah. So Endgame is 19, Black Panther 18, and then Guardians 14, Iron Man 3 was 13, Avengers 2012, and then Iron Man 2 was 2010.
Damn. Okay, so we stood 2010 on. So it was 2 and 3, not 1 and 2. Forgot about that. I cannot believe 3 got it of all. Like, that just goes to show how big RDJ and Iron Man was at the time.
I think that's my number two on my rankings after rewatch.
Well, it's right smack dead at the bottom of mine.
Great. It's just shocking. Like, do you think any franchise or anything will like have that power? Like in the 2020s, what is going to be that franchise that has like 5-6 entries in the big IP list?
Does Avatar count now that there's a sequel?
Yes, it does.
I'm going to go that route. I think there's what, 4 movies planned. So that will probably be the closest we get. Maybe Guns DC. I think that a lot of people are super excited for that universe to pop off. Legacy's going to be in the top 3 summer blockbusters of that year. Who knows, maybe Batman the Brave and the Bold. The sky's the limit with that universe.
Yeah, unfortunately that's the wrong answer. I was looking for Horizon and American Saga.
Oh, yep. Didn't they just push back the release of what, parts 2 through 7 of that? Come on, Kev. Get it together.
Oh, Lord. Kev's too busy working on the boys in the boat.
I saw an awesome, I think it was TikTok or tweet. Did Kevin Costner do Boys in the Boat?
No, I just always think he did.
Yeah, it's like the same vibe. Mm-hmm. Hey, but Joel Edgerton in that one. So shout out Joel Edgerton.
Yeah.
But Kevin Costner just plays like Kevin Costner in every movie.
He does. He's like, who else is like that? I'm trying to think. Octavia Spencer plays Octavia Spencer in every movie besides Ma.
I was going to get you for that one. Good save.
All right. Only 2 remakes made our list on here. They were both in the big IP category, I believe. Or no, they were in the family film category. Both were remakes from the same company, and that is Disney. Do you know which 2 remakes made it?
The Lion King is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. Which feels strange. Like, I doubt I should have done the research beforehand, but like Little Mermaid isn't on there for last year for sure. Have there been any remakes this year? Do you think Mufasa makes it like whenever that comes out next summer?
No, I don't think so. I understand. So lot to unpack. I get why those made the list, because when those movies came out, it was almost kind of an interesting appeal of like, oh my gosh, we're getting these movies remade with awesome CGI. There was kind of a market for it. Lion King, I get. Even Beauty and the Beast, I understand the market for. And then people got fatigue of like literally the beat for beat remakes of these, that there was no like creative flair added to them. And then unfortunately, sadly, however you want to frame it, the reason The Little Mermaid wasn't successful was for all the wrong reasons. That movie could have made a ton of money. I'm surprised, honestly, that Aladdin didn't crack this list. I feel like it made a ton of money.
I think it did, but it was also super hated. Like, I remember when Will Smith like was announced as Genie, everybody was like, who the fuck is gonna see this? It was like a Garfield Chris Pratt moment.
Well, okay, there was a lot more to it. It wasn't that Will Smith was cast, it was that Robin Williams is Genie. Like, you can't redo this movie without him. And I get that. I saw a cool interview with Dennis Quaid talking about how he would never remake Parent Trap or like do a sequel. I thought that was really cool. You know, just honor the dead. I don't, that's why Aladdin kind of got flack.
Yeah, that's fair. Quick tangent here. Have you seen Harrison Ford continuously say, "I'm the only person who's ever going to play Indiana Jones"?
Yes. Yes.
Like poor how guy. Long? Like 5 years?
Seven.
Okay. I thought you were going to hit me with like a two.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, maybe like a show. I could see like a Disney Plus show come out with like
the River Phoenix one, Young Indiana Jones.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
No way. Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. That's a cool time capsule.
It is. It is. Anyways, of our 30 selections, 17 were from Disney. That is fucking like blasphemous. The next highest was Warner Bros. Next highest was Warner Bros. Guess how many they had?
Four.
Five.
Dang it. What were the five?
Let me pull it up here. It's just baffling to me. Like, we hear all this news about like maybe a Disney Apple merger happening, right? Like Apple's gonna buy Disney. How the fuck is that possible? Like, these guys just, as much as I hate them, and I don't think you're really a big fan either, they do just hit.
They get on base. You know, you can't knock them at some point. That goes to show, though, if Apple's going to buy them, those iPhones really do sell then. I mean, holy cow. And how much money their studio probably has, Apple TV. Like, it's crazy. Fly Me to the Moon had a huge budget. I want to say like a couple hundred million dollars. The F1 budget, the new Brad Pitt movie coming out with Damson Idris. That movie, I think, has like a $300 million budget. They're just throwing, this is like fun coupons to them.
Even, what's it called? The Scorsese movie from last year.
Yeah, Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah.
They did. Yeah. They pumped money at Napoleon, I think, was Apple TV, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, and they just they never fucking hit, do they? It is always singles.
I think F1's going to be good.
Okay, fair. Our five Warner Bros. Movies are Harry Potter 8, Gravity, American Sniper, Dunkirk, and Wonder Woman.
I would take, I think, all of those over like 90% of the Disney projects.
You're wrong, dude. Disney has all of Marvel.
All right, well, for me, I know you're being funny, but I would not take these over Infinity War because that's one of my favorites. I don't know if there's anything else. Like,
really?
BP probably trumps Wonder Woman, but I like all those. Gravity sucks. Gravity would be underneath most of the Disney projects.
Gravity is such an anomaly in this list.
It's like the last of its kind. I don't even know how to frame it, or the beginning of its kind, like poop CGI.
Yeah, great way to put it. Next highest was Universal. They had four, and that was an interesting selection. We got
was Us.
Yes, Us was also Jurassic World, Despicable Me 2, and Ted.
Hey, you know what? I like the diversification right there. Way to diversify your portfolio a little bit, Universal. You know, give us a little bit of everything. Comedy, horror, you know, big IP, big action.
I always forget that Universal owns Illumination. Like, that's such a weird... Illumination itself is such a weird animation company. Like, just pigeonholing into the Despicable Me universe.
Yeah, I don't know. What's the other one that came out this year? Like, Migration? Is that Illumination?
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what else they have. I don't blame them for leaning on the Minions.
Fair enough. After the Universal, it was just two more. Both had two. Paramount and 20th Century Fox pre-merger. So technically, Disney is on this list 19 times.
That is insane. That is insane. They own the summer blockbuster.
They do. They do. Our Paramount movies were World War Z and A Quiet Place, two of our favorites from the list. And our 20th Century Fox movies were Avatar and The Revenant. A couple of weird ones.
That's funny that Disney owns Revenant now. I find that very hard to believe that I can go on a Disney Plus and stream Leo eating like bear organs.
It's like how they own The Empty Man too.
That is insane. That is insane. That movie, that deserves better.
Yes,
now,
it does.
Honestly, you know what? It deserves as big of a platform as Disney Plus.
I like that take. It was on Max for like a long time for whatever reason. I want to rewatch it every time we talk about it. So, of our top 10 highest earning films on this list, how many do you think were Disney? Across the 10 years, across the 30 films. Of our top 10, how many were Disney?
Shit, dude. I mean, seven?
Eight? And technically nine?
Oh my gosh.
Because Avatar's kidding. On there, so technically they have that now too.
What's the top 10?
Let's pull this up real quick. So, I... Like, looking at this, I feel like watching the projects and stuff, because I did watch most of these every week, I didn't really, like, it didn't sink into me that so much was Disney. And I think that's because, like, it's all just kind of in one ear, out the other. Like, Brave, how the fuck was that? Yeah, I don't know. our top 10 were Avengers Endgame, Avatar, Black Panther, Jurassic World, The Avengers, Incredibles 2, The Lion King, The Beauty and the Beast, and Finding Dory.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Beauty and the Beast cracked the top 10?
Unfortunately, yes. They were at the 9.
Gosh, that's crazy.
They went and 8. Honestly, if you want to extend the list, like, we have Wonder Woman at 13, but otherwise the full top 15 are Disney.
So for as much hate we give Disney, they know how to make a buck or two.
Are they keeping the theater industry alive? Are they blast?
Dude, that's what's... Maybe we need to start changing our tune on Disney. Maybe they're the ones keeping it afloat. Like, Disney is the NBA, and the rest of these theater studios are the WNBA. Like, they're just dishing it out. Like, hey, come along for the ride.
So what's who's Caitlin Clark in this scenario? Avatar?
A24.
Yeah, fair. Okay. Let's keep building on this Disney success. So we talked about 10 family films on this list. How many of those do you think were Disney?
How many family films?
10 family films.
9.
Yeah, 9.
Okay. I'm trying to think of the one. Despicable Me was not Disney.
Yeah, Despicable Me 2 was Universal. How many of those 9 do you think were Pixar?
You've got Inside Out, Toy Story 3, 2?
5.
Whoa, what am I missing? Oh, is Brave Pixar?
Brave is Pixar, sadly. We also have... let's see here. Yes, you said Toy Story 3. Finding Dory was Pixar.
Mm, yep.
And Incredibles 2, also Pixar.
I can't believe Frozen isn't Pixar.
Yeah, it's such a weird anomaly. And Tangled 2.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Tangled isn't Pixar. Frozen is one of those where I thought it was so good that I was convinced it was Pixar. You know, another movie that I thought was Pixar forever was Big Hero 6.
Dude, is it not?
No, it's not. I'm not even sure it's Disney. I just associate that. I associate every good animation movie with Pixar. So maybe that's a testament to Pixar.
I think it is, but I worry that like brand is kind of going away. And you can even see the fall off kind of happen in this list. I think that the last great Pixar movie is forever going to be Soul.
Yeah, I know that you were. Well, I think Inside Out 2 is good, not great. Yeah, maybe it is Soul. I told you that one deserves a rewatch. That's a cool one where it may get better as you get older. Like, I'm not saying that the other Pixar classics get worse, but like, you appreciate them for the nostalgic, like charm of them. I think Soul ages with you.
Yes, it absolutely does. That's one of the only Pixar movie that is actually like made for adults to enjoy.
But I mean, that was a COVID movie, so it's not on this list. But it probably would have if we didn't have a COVID run.
I think so. Only three original concept films earned a top five box office finish for the summer that they were released.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Is the original story dead?
Maybe. Do you know what those three were? Because they're kind of funny.
Original story. I don't think so. Give me a hint for one of them.
One is the biggest movie of all time.
Oh, Avatar counts?
Yeah.
Okay.
An original movie when it came out.
It was at the time.
The second one was the worst of the list. Gravity.
I guess that does count. Okay.
And then the last was American Sniper, which is...
I like American Sniper.
Yeah. It's good. I teeter back and forth on if it's an original story since it's adapted from a book.
Yeah.
But
there is an asterisk there. But it's that's a good movie. And it's something we don't see a lot, so I'm willing to give it the pass.
All right, last little trivia question for you. By the way, you're doing horribly on this quiz. This is your pass-fail attempt right here. If you get this right, you pass. If you don't, you fail. Lowest earning film on the list.
Lowest earning film on what year?
I think it was 2012. It was an original concept film, if that helps you too.
Well, you just gave me the three, didn't you?
Uh-uh. It lowest earning, I'm saying.
The Help.
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on. What a snipe. What a snipe.
The Help only made $270 million domestic. It finished 11th place at the box office that summer, and it was the highest grossing original concept.
TikTok movie.
Yeah. Second worst was Us, sadly, with $275 million. So not
That's
much
crazy. Really?
Yeah.
How much did Get Out make?
Dude, it has to be absurd. But the thing about that is, like, profit margin wise, what was the budget of Us? It was God damn it. I don't want the US budget.
Maybe 80.
It was 20 million.
Whoa.
And it made 275 mil back. That's the power of horror. Like, no other movie can get that kind of return on that much value. You know what I mean?
That's okay. I was thinking about this when I was watching Cuckoo. I think that whether you like horror or not, you have to respect the genre as a whole, because it's the last of a dying religion where the majority of movies that come out from that genre are original stories, and people show up for original content in that market space.
It's pretty cool, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Also, Get Out made $255 million, so less than Us.
We should start tracking that. Like, let's go back maybe next episode and look at profit margins of all the Disney projects and see, like, if they're truly as successful as they're marketed.
Interesting. Yeah, that would be an interesting project. Maybe I'll do some research on that this weekend. All right. You ready to stop talking about the past and start living in the present?
Brother, those words make me happy. I'm all for it.
2024 top 10. Do you want me to go top down or bottom up?
Top down.
Number one is Inside Out 2, winning me a big bet with Ty. Whenever you want to wire me that 10K, just let me know.
I'll give you more equity. We'll talk.
Cool. Number two, Deadpool and Wolverine.
So I came close. I came close.
You did. You did. Inside Out 2 was the biggest animated movie of all time. And that, like, killed you.
Yeah. And D&W was the highest grossing R-rated movie ever. Like,
right.
Two powerhouses at the box office this year.
Number three, Despicable Me 4.
No way.
Yeah. I can't believe it either. Number four, a pleasant surprise, Twisters.
Cool. Glenn Powell, thank you.
Number five is a movie that I didn't know anybody saw, and that's Bad Boys Ride or Die.
Wow.
Yeah. Sequel. Number six, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Number seven was A Quiet Place Day One. Number eight, It Ends With Us. Number nine was If, John Krasinski's movie. And number 10, The Fall Guy.
The year of kids movies, question mark?
The year of, I mean, I want to say the year of big IP, but like looking back at this, the lack of original concepts being successful isn't new. Obviously, like we can talk about how Us made 20-fold its budget, but it's not going to top the list. The average box office place finish for the original concept film in the summer blockbusters was 6.8. And this year, it's kind of a gray area. We have It Ends With Us at 8, but I feel like the Colleen Hoover like material with that kind of makes it a big IP.
Yep. Yeah, so, it kind of is.
So it would be If, John Krasinski's.
Nine.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's cool to see that they're in the top 10 still, but it's not what people show up for. I'd even argue, I know that The Fall Guy apparently has IP, but it was not, like, I know our age group, I couldn't have told you it was going into it. So, yeah,
it wasn't marketed as that. Like, the same way, if Mission Impossible 1 came out today, like, nobody's going to know about the TV show from the 80s, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think what's changed most for the original concepts is the type that succeed. Like you said, I think it has to be a genre film like horror or romance. I think those two are going to be big for originality in the next like 10 years, because like I said, you can spend $20 million and make $250 back. That's fucking insane. And it's not that huge commitment of like, say you want to make an original sci-fi film. Like, even the creator, what was that, 50 mil budget? Like, that's a 80. Lot harder to make yeah. back. And especially sci-fi, I feel like, now I'm just going into a sci-fi tangent, but, like, the other genres feel not as accessible. Like, almost everybody will go see a horror movie in October. Do you know what I mean? If it's PG-13. Almost everybody would go see a romance movie, whether it's going with your on a date or if that's just your thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The only difference between horror and romance, I feel like with a scary movie, you don't need to attach a big name to it. At least in my opinion, I think you can go for a no-namer, like a cool concept is enough. But with romance, you do need an established, like very notable person in the lead.
I think you're right.
Like, and It Follows, Micah Monroe, I don't think was a big name at the time, but that was a cool concept that got people to see it. Blair Witch Project, Paranormal Activity.
But, like, let's think about recent examples. Like, of this summer's horror, I mean, this summer's horror was kind of shitty.
Yeah, that's different. Let's look at, was Kaluuya a huge name when Get Out came out?
No, he was pretty small. He was pretty small.
Yeah, but I guess Lakeith Stanfield. I knew. No, honestly, I mean, Atlanta. I don't know. I think, I mean, you're on to something. And is there something wrong with that? Like, God forbid you put your budget towards the actor, but I think that's the big problem, is that the budget is wasted on getting someone like notable in the project.
Yeah, it feels like when we see trailers, like let's look at Heretic. Have you seen that trailer?
Oh God, no.
It's a A24 movie, I believe. It's about like these girls who are like the door-to-door, like, do you have a minute to talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you know? And they stumble upon guess whose house? It's got to be Hugh Grant. Like Why does there have to be a name there? I think that we're shifting more towards that and away from that. But I think that when we have leads that are that big name, it opens the door for the side characters to like get their foot in the door and create a career. Like, let's look at Scream 5. You have Jenna Ortega as like the drawing point. Everybody loves Jenna Ortega. Melissa Barrera wasn't very well known in that, like heading in, as far as I know. and she has exploded. I mean, she's Abigail was a big success from a profit standpoint. And even the people who play Mindy and Chad, like they're starting to get their own movies. What's her name? The girl who was also in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Don't do that to me.
Mikey Madsen. She is now like in the Palme d'Or winning film. Like horror is such a vehicle for those smaller characters to get noticed and really have a career takeoff. I think that that still exists, but there might need to be one big name, even if it's just the director attached to get people in seats.
I'm with that. And I'm trying, and it's sad. I don't think of any notable action movies or big movies of the last 5 years where it's like, okay, that's a name we need to start tracking. It's all the smaller projects. You don't see that anymore. I just watched Back to the Future, maybe the biggest or one of the biggest science fiction movies ever. And I don't recognize like 95% of the cast, but I have fun with everyone. Like the principal, like Lorraine. I don't know. It's a different time. And that's fine. Like if that's the vehicle to get people on the big screen, I don't know.
Yeah, it is disappointing though, because like when you think about people who come from nowhere and just blow up, like I feel like it is the movies that create another world, like Star Wars, where you can't have Luke Skywalker be somebody who you already know, or you can't have Rey be somebody who you already know, so you go and cast Daisy Ridley. Like those movies, I think, are getting harder and harder to make, from what I can tell from this.
Yeah, I just don't know what the solution is. I don't think there is a solution. I think it's just money talks and money drives decisions.
It's just the way it is. That said, I want to have a quick star power draft with you.
Oh, brother. Okay.
All right, you ready? Do you want first pick or me?
You go first.
Margot Robbie.
Brad Pitt.
Interesting. Interesting. You think Brad Pitt has that much of a platform still?
Oh my gosh, dude. He's in like, I think he's like entering a new prime. This is like 2018 LeBron. I think he's got it figured out. The last like 4 years of Brad Pitt has been honestly phenomenal.
It has been. But I can't believe you took him over your boy TC.
That was, well, hey, buddy. This is a draft. This is Snake. All right.
Really? We're snaking here?
Why would I just give you the first pick?
All right, go ahead.
I'm taking TC.
That's a good pick. I'm going to throw you for a little bit of a loop here. I'm not going to go with an actor. I think Jordan Peele has that pull.
He does. He does. He may be... Okay, I like that. I'll take Nolan then for my third pick. I think he's the other director that can.
Hey, buddy, it's Snakes.
Fuck.
No, I'm not going to do that to you. I'm taking Zendaya with my third.
That's a great pick. She does have the juice. I'm still taking Nolan for my fourth pick. There's a couple ways I could go. Timmy Chalamet.
Good choice. Bouncing it back to me, I figure five rounds.
Let's do it.
This is tough. I've got a lot of good choices here. I'm gonna go with Nick Cage.
oh boy. All right.
People show up for Nick Cage in movies.
They do. They absolutely do.
It's weird. 2 years ago, I would have had Pedro Pascal here, but he's already like fallen off the face of the earth.
Nah, dude, he's going to be Reed Richards soon.
Great. Don't fret. I'm sure that's going to be the movie to revive his career. I'm stuck here between a few, but I think I have to go with Ryan Gosling.
He's still got the juice. The Fall Guy was kind of weird, but yeah, I mean, that's a chalk pick. He's still one of those guys. I think someone that's going to... Oh, man, I'm torn. I'm just... Since this is my fifth pick, right? I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to draft Michael B. Jordan, and I'm going to scoop Glenn Powell on the waivers. Honorable mention to GP.
Nice. Yeah, a couple honorable mentions for me. I think Brendan Frazier like still has that power right now from the Renaissance.
Yeah.
And I also think two other guys, a little older. Denzel still gets people to show up. So does Sandler.
Yeah, no kidding, dude. Those are great picks. Those are great picks.
Yeah. So do you remember your team in summary? I had Margot Robbie, Jordan Peele, Zendaya, Gosling, and Nick Cage.
Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, Chris Nolan, Michael B. Jordan. Who was my fourth? I'll go GP then. I'll go Glenn Powell.
Cool. Good. That's a good draft. Like, it's interesting because like there's so much variety there. Unfortunately, two of our picks were women, which is like a sad reflection of the industry. Like, does Florence Pugh have that draw? Not really.
Yeah, no, she does. And I think it's just because it's fresh on my mind from this year, but I think Lupita has some kind of power, or at mm-hmm. least will. I mean, Us and A Quiet Place. But I don't know. I think she's outweighed by something else, like Us, Jordan Peele, A Quiet Place, huge IP, John Krasinski.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised you didn't take Chris Pratt.
No, I couldn't do it.
The most commercially honestly, successful actor.
That's someone that's like tailing out, I think.
Do you?
Yeah, I think he's trending downwards after Garfield.
One of my funniest things, I was watching a YouTube video that was like making fun of Bill Murray, and in Zombieland they ask him if he has any regrets, and he says Garfield. And the guy
Garfield.
Came, yeah, the guy came back into the second one.
You're kidding.
Yeah, he did A Tale of Two Kitties. So that's a rough look for Bill Murray.
It's like Harrison Ford. He's just got to own it. Like, yeah, dude, I did it for the money. All right. Shut up.
All right. So I think the best place to go from here is talking about like the way big IPs are used right now, because it's strange. We look back and the big IPs of the past are mostly like Marvel, Harry Potter, huge, hugely successful thing. Like, we didn't get to that era, but Lord of the Rings before that, like there is these defining franchises. And now, instead of everything being from bigger IPs, it feels like original movies have to be attached to a smaller IP, like to be made sometimes. Like Twisters, what the fuck is that doing as Twisters?
Yeah, that kind of stuff sells. It's weird. There's no other way to put it. Is there a world where what needs to happen to spark the original story again?
Or like, it's A24 is like the only one actually funding them, right?
Okay, so like that's where I'm getting with this. You know how they are like talking about doing superhero movies again? Like, are they want to start tackling them? Is that what it's going to take? Like, they have like a superhero story go nuclear? Or is this the downfall of the original story and them going the superhero or big blockbuster route is the legitimate end of the original story being like a blockbuster success forever?
I don't think it's the end, because I think A24 has now crossed, like, obviously they have a very specific brand of films, right? They're all character driven. They're very thoughtful. They're beautiful to look at, that sort of stuff. And I think they're going to continue to make those, even if they do end up shifting into the blockbuster sphere because they're that big name now. But as A24 rises, I think that A24's creation and start and like entry into the industry has opened the door for things like Neon to like bust in and start making a name for themselves. Or even Shudder is like slowly creeping in the horror industry into being a big producer of original films. So I think that it's just kind of the natural flow. And if they go nuclear, I think that that would be in general good, because that proves that these like big four studios, the Universal, the Paramount, the Disney, and the Warner Bros, they aren't untouchable up there. Like there is a way towards a 10 studio system. Like it's like it's like if some random third party candidate suddenly like took away 50% of the vote.
Yeah. No, and that's, you're right. This is, maybe that's what we need. That would be so cool. Like imagine an A24 movie being like the top grossing movie of a given year, and it just opens the floodgates.
And honestly, as much shit as we give the Oscars are a big part of A24's success. We look at Moonlight getting Best Picture, and in such a memorable way with the La La Land fuck up. Like, the Oscars have helped propel them. Like, Everything Everywhere winning all five major awards was such a huge storyline, because it's the first time one of those like big four or five studios didn't win any of those. Like, it's so cool that the Oscars was able to give a platform to that, even though the Oscars kind of ruined movies.
Thank you, Oscars, I guess. What's the comp for that? Like, gee, thanks, man.
It's like, God, I don't know.
Giving a ring to the last guy on your bench.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know. There's something there. I'm not getting there though. But this is technically, so 2024 heading in, you and I were very skeptical, right? Because we're looking at the slate and we're seeing these top eight films that are all just 2, 3, 4, 2, 5. Like, what the fuck are we doing here, guys? This was far better from an originality standpoint than last year's summer.
Yeah, probably. Well, last year was 23.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
There was only one original concept film to crack the top 18 financially. Do you know what it was?
Well, I'm pulling up my 2023 movies. Crack the top 18?
Yeah.
Barbie?
No.
That doesn't count?
Big IP.
Okay. But, like, all right. Yeah, this is, okay. Understood. Asteroid City.
The Kyle Pitts of movies.
No, Elemental.
Elemental somehow is the only one to crack the top 18. So Pixar does still have some power. But
wait, hold on. Maybe that's okay. That's what it is. We were talking about horror movies, romance movies, animated movies. Like, that is another platform for creativity. Like, it being a kid's movie or it being an animation is enough to put people in the seats. From a family perspective, think about it. Like, oh, this is technically for kids. Let's bring the whole family. Like, true. I think that's one of the other platforms. Maybe it's not a Pixar thing, because if cracked the top 10 this year.
That's true. My pushback on that is that, maybe you're right. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Like, Despicable Me ended up being top 3 so far this year. Like, I'm just trying to think, like, from, we always talk about, like, most people in the world or in America are seeing like one movie per year on the big screen. If you're a family, it's even harder to get to the big screen because it's so expensive now. Your best bet is an animated movie. So I don't think it needs to be a big IP for it to blow up anymore.
That's fair. My only thing is, like, the difference I see between horror, romance, and animated is that animated takes so much longer to create. So, like, you're really only going to get probably 2-3 of those a year that are really high quality.
Which almost is kind of a good thing. I feel like we always talk about that. Like, we were frustrated with Star Wars for releasing new movies every year, every 2 years, or, like, getting show fatigue every 6 months. I think when something is meticulously crafted, like Spider-Verse, like, holy shit, it took them 5 years to make this movie. I think there's some appeal there. Obviously, you need projects to keep theaters functioning, but from like an original perspective, I'm fine waiting or getting only one great original piece a year. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I don't mind it either. That said, really biggest takeaway from this year, Disney is still king. We look at the top 10 movies. They have the top two, Inside Out 2 and Deadpool and Wolverine. Those are by a long shot. Don't quote me on the numbers here, but it was somewhere around like 500 plus mil domestic for each of those. And Despicable Me 4, was I think like 275. Like they're getting doubled. They are still the top dog and they're not going anywhere.
Yeah. And you know what? Again, this conversation and this exercise we've done the last 10 weeks has almost changed my tune. Like instead of being like, oh, the big bad Disney, like maybe they're doing our job for us, you know, putting people in the seats.
Yeah, maybe they are. That said, financials, obviously not the only measure of success for a movie. And I think that's why we don't like Disney, is because, I mean, they're making these big hitters, these big money makers, but do these stories mean anything to me? No. Do they mean anything to you?
Probably not. Well, hey, let's pull up, what's the top 10? Like, how many like A blast grades were on the Disney movies? Like, I know Deadpool and Wolverine, I had like an A experience. You had a D. So like, that's an average of like, you know, it's like a C plus, B minus kind of blast grade. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think there's any A quality Disney blast movies.
Inside Out 2, I think we both gave like an A minus.
A minus, yeah.
But it's not the same. Like, it's just, and I think part of that is the size of Disney. Like, if when A24 tells a story, you can tell that like a lot of people came together to tell one person's story. It feels like Disney is kind of mass produced right now to reach the widest audience possible, which is reflected through their financials. But I mean, some of my favorite movie, like you look at my favorite movie of all time, A Ghost Story. That's a movie that is made for like, I don't know how many people, 50,000 maybe.
Right. But like you feel connected. You feel connected to that movie. And that doesn't happen in a lot of, I would say, volume shooting movies. Like Disney is Captain Hook. Like they're going to throw up 15, 20 projects a year. They're going to make a ton of money. 12 of them are going to be successful. Doesn't mean they're going to touch your soul. I think Inside Out 2 did a good job of that, though. Like it did touch my soul a little bit. You know, I felt myself on the ropes. I think another thing that we're not talking about is the best movies aren't just A or A plus blast grade movies. They're also A plus movie grades. Like you need the double A or the double A plus to stand out. That is where I think Disney struggles, because even if it's a big event like No Way Home, A blast grade for a lot of people, hovering in that C territory if you go watch it, you know, another day or catch it on the wrong night.
Yeah, it's... Disney is their quality has definitely dropped, and even Marvel, like just quality in general, has dropped. You see like CGI moments like you have in Black Widow and stuff like that, and you're like, oh, this movie, like you can tell that people didn't really care about it when they worked on it. And I think that's what I'm trying to get at, is the best movies for me are movies that the people who are working on them definitely cared about making. And maybe that's different with Inside Out 2 because it's Pixar. I feel like they do really care about their projects, even if they're not that great. And maybe that's the differentiator.
You're probably right. Like to your point, it's quantity over quality, and it shows a lot. And it has shown like the last, what, 4 years now. So I'm right there with you. I'm just as fed up and, I don't know, tired of it.
Yeah. So what do you want from a summer blockbuster? We've talked a lot about these Disney fucks that don't give us what we want. What are your like five key points that need to hit for a great summer blockbuster?
Well, I'm a sucker for an adventure movie. I'm not married to the idea of just adventure, but like Indiana Jones-esque is kind of my fastball. Good humor. I think that a lot of blockbusters struggle with getting humor right. If I laugh a lot, that's always a good sign. I need one to two iconic characters that aren't just great characters, but linger for like years. Like I need someone to show up on my TikTok for you page for 6 months and then I can relate to them. Same way for iconic characters. I need like five great YouTube scenes. I need to go back 6 months later when it releases on digital and watch the best moments. Like, and I can pinpoint those five, six, maybe even seven great moments. Mm-hmm. I think those are kind of my list. I'm trying to think. Oh, I mean, I don't know. We always talk about like quality. I want to see great set pieces, especially from like a blockbuster movie. I don't want it to feel like it was produced in front of a green screen. I want to feel like I'm in that environment. And that's a blockbuster for me. That's about as perfect as it gets.
You got an example for us?
Twisters.
Okay. Yeah, I like that take. My ideal summer blockbuster is either an action or a horror movie, just because those genres always call to me. I like your adventure take. I think that's good too. But I think action adventure kind of go hand in hand. So we're talking the same thing. I also need a plot that doesn't fall apart after a moment's thought. Like, you look at Wonder Woman 84. What if one person wished that everything would go back to how it was? Damn. I got that from fantasy. A plot that keeps you guessing and is fun to follow. Like, not something that is going to leave you super depressed after you watch it. Like Civil War. I don't want to curl up in a ball and want the world to end after I see it. I need characters that, once again, are fun and that you can relate to. Something that you can connect with. That's the biggest part of the movie for me. And the last one, a great soundtrack. Something that I can come back to and listen to in the morning every day.
I'm all in for that. You got to get some Hans, some Lorne Balf, maybe Pemberton.
The examples I wrote here are Us. I think that was fucking awesome. Like, the Five on It soundtrack is awesome. The characters are all great. Plot is just phenomenal. Horror movie, blah, blah, blah. TASM 2, the ideal summer blockbuster for me, obviously.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, I guess some better examples. I mean, I love Twisters. I think it's like the embodiment of a great blockbuster for me. I know it doesn't really exactly count as adventure, but the last, I'd say Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation, and Dead Reckoning have adventure in them. And those are like standard blockbusters for me that I think are great. But if you go back in time, Goonies and Raiders of the Lost Ark are, I think, perfect summer blockbusters.
That's a phenomenal take. I like that a lot. I got to ask you, the first ever summer blockbuster, what are your thoughts? I referenced Jaws in the beginning here. I called you the mayor who wants to keep the beach open. But what do you think? Is Jaws all it's cracked up to be? Did that deserve to be the first summer blockbuster?
I mean, it's hard to say because we're not from that time period. We didn't get to see it on the big screen. I think it is good enough. Like, it warrants being the first, because that was what, 70, 78? What was Jaws?
77, 78.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it was going to be that or Superman. I'd rather it be an original versus like big comic book character.
Fair enough. Actually, no. Was it 70? I think it might have been 74 or 75, because Star Wars was 77. And I think that was a summer blockbuster originally, wasn't it?
Yeah, had to have been.
Yeah. So that would have been a cool first.
No kidding. Jeez. Yeah. Batting 1,000. You didn't like Jaws? Or is it just one of those where it's like good, not great?
Good, not great. I rewatched it two nights ago with Morgan. She likes it a lot. I think, I don't know. I mean, are the characters that great? Not really. Are the stars that great? Definitely not. Like, I think my ideal like blockbuster era is the 80s.
I agree. Just more metal. You know,
That,
if I could not do my list again, but just extend it, I'd give more examples. Like, Predator would be an awesome summer blockbuster. Like, I didn't say, like, I need great, nuanced characters. I need iconic characters. You got Stallone and Arnold going at it for a decade. Those would have been great to see on the big screen.
Hey, throw in Carl Weathers for Predator too. What's the matter? CIA got you pushing too many pencils.
I love Carl Weathers. Gosh, that one crushed me. Crushed me.
That was sad. All right, you got anything else to add before I close this thing out?
Nah, man. This was just a fun exercise. Steve, you know, I got to shout you out. This was your idea. This was fun to revisit and kind of, I don't know, go down memory lane of like the best and in some cases the worst blast experiences of the last 10 years.
Yeah, definitely. I did really enjoy this project. I think it'd be fun next summer to do something with the 90s since their summer blockbusters are probably the most iconic, obviously different format and everything. But I mean, the feedback we've gotten on this has been pretty great, which is cool. So we are going to have a couple of normal episodes coming up, just talking about what's coming out, talking about a couple of movies we've seen each week. But after that, we do have something horror-related planned for spooky season that we're both looking forward to. So stay tuned for that. And thank you all for listening to this episode of the Blast Podcast. We really appreciate you showing up. If you haven't downloaded the Blast app already, go do it. Search Blast Movie app on the App Store or go to blastmovies.net, our website. There's links there that you can follow. Also, check out our Instagram at blast_movies_ and our TikTok at blast.movies for more pod clips, content, news. And we will catch you next week with another episode.